everything coming together right now, getting hot at the right time, going to the postseason, you're reminded quickly how fragile everything can be. Juan Soto sliding into the wall seemed okay, but I guess going to have x-rays today on that knee.
Yeah, more, I believe, of the precautionary Friday. That's how it's been presented by the Yankees. But I heard this, and I learned of this in a very unsettling way. I had just jumped in the car. Like, the timing was perfect, actually awful, but perfect for the, right, the bad experience on my end. I get in the car, fans already on, obviously. And I basically hear, like, a lot of silence, and I hear Susan say, and it's Justin on the other, doing the play-by-play, Susan said something like, and, you know, Judge is the only one around him, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And she didn't say Soto's, or she might have, I just didn't hear it. So I deduced, I'm like, all right, well, if Judge is in the vicinity of somebody, it's probably Soto. I'm thinking he got hit by a pitch, and then Judge is on deck, and then Judge may have actually got over to him to help him up, whatever, before the trainers came out. And then there was, and it wasn't their fault, it was very unclear. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. Did he catch it? Did it glance off the wall? Was it fan interference? Then was he, how hurt was he? What did he hurt? Yeah, for a couple minutes, I'm sitting, and it was a couple of minutes. That's not hyperbole. Like, it was a couple of minutes as the Yankees challenged the play successfully.
Right.
It's a reminder, and you don't really go through this with baseball too much. Pitchers, yeah, but not so much position players. Like, you watch football, and you're like, just get to next week in one piece.
Yeah.
It's not how you watch or observe baseball. But when I was sorting through that and trying to create these images in my own mind because Susan and Justin couldn't present it only because they didn't even know what was going on, it was like, dude, did we just lose Juan Soto for the season?
Oh, God, and that would be a death blow. I mean, I remember feeling like this watching week one of the Jets, hey, just get Rodgers out of here healthy. Like, I wasn't, you know, you're watching the game, of course, but your primary goal is to not see him get hurt.
Yep.
But it hasn't even been a thought, whether it's Judge or anybody else, when it comes to Yankees, certainly not Soto, that one of these guys gets hurt.
Remember, Soto hurt his elbow. Yeah. Remember, we thought.
Yeah. Oh, well, there
was,
back then,
I think that was the Dodgers series that he sat out some games.
Correct. But you're talking about, I mean, what was that, May or June?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, you know, I mean, worst case is out of Tommy Johnson. Like, nobody knew what the hell was going on. I was a little worried about that.
Yes, back then, yes, 100%. I'm saying that in the recent weeks, the last thing that has been on my mind is any of these guys getting hurt. Just having.
Oh, recently, I see.
Yeah,
they're getting healthier, actually.
Yeah, well,
everybody's coming back.
That's what I mean. It's starting to go the other way for the Yankees. So it's just not something that crossed my mind. And early in the year with Judge, like, thinking he was going to miss a bunch of games, you know, he didn't. He stayed healthy the whole time. So it just hasn't been at the forefront. But every now and again, you get a little reminder of how fragile it can be. And when you see something like that happen, all the momentum, all the planning, the record, the bye, wouldn't matter if you're not going to have Juan Soto for the postseason. Now, obviously, you're not going, what do you hope he's going to be okay?
Yeah.
Stay in the game, so he should be fine, you'd think.
Mm-hmm.
Precautionary, as you said, x-rays today. But it just a reminder, without Soto, I mean.
I don't understand. Well, it changed everything. Yeah. I don't understand why some of these ballparks have, and I believe Seattle has this configuration. Like, there's definitely Wrigley has. It's like there's no room from the foul pole to the fence. I mean, if you're pursuing a ball and, you know, and it's off a righty's bat, and it's going, obviously, you got a little reverse spin from the right-handed bat, and it's going toward the right field line, which is the way it's going to go from a righty, getting inside the ball kind of like a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, you're like, well, is it going to be fair? And you're charging toward the ball. If you slide and the fence or the wall is right next to the line, I mean, that's just a poorly built stadium.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Give yourself 5 or 6 feet.
I know, but then
give
they want
a chance to pull up.
Yeah, but there's going to be a wall at some point.
I understand that, but if the wall's not immediately connected to the line.
Right, but even if it weren't.
You know, a little grace room to slide, you know, a little foot slide, a little pop-up slide, whatever it is.
Well, right, they come up with the brilliant idea of, let's get the seats closer to the field, which you're thinking, in theory, sounds great, right? Who wouldn't want to sit on the field or as close to the field as possible? Then you realize, maybe this wasn't the best idea because, you know, back in the day, they used to have to build the stadium to fit the city.
Yes.
Now they were like, we like the nooks and crannies. Yeah, but you're building these ballparks that are just, it doesn't make any sense to have to force the seats onto, like, there should be no seat anywhere near the foul line. But either way, there's going to be a seat somewhere and there's going to be a ball hit inevitably somewhere that somebody in play is going to go try to make a play.
And I do think he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Again, if you just tuned in, we're talking about Soto with that scare at the wall right field yesterday. Precautionary x-rays today. probably most likely averted disaster, but that was rough for a little bit.
Let's get back to the phones here. Anything really is up for debate. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got the Mets. Whatever's on your mind. Obviously, Giants talks is well ahead of their huge game. Is an actual must-win for the Giants as it pertains to Week 3 against Cleveland. 888-808-1019. Steve is in Howard Beach. What's up, Steve?
I saw something in our group text, little buddy, and I didn't want to believe it, but I have to ask you on air. Atlanta Falcon fan, die hard your entire life. They go and play the Jets in the Super Bowl. Now, we went through that whole Ranger Islander thing with Boomer, and I know through and through you're a diehard Ranger fan.
Yeah.
Like, that was a funny little thing, but this is a little bit more high alert, high level. Who are you rooting for, Falcons, Jets in the Super Bowl?
It's a tough question, Steven. Thank you for the call. They texted me, Steve and my buddy Vin, in a group text because they saw me posting pictures of the game last night.
Jets Rogers hoodie, stuff. Jets hat. Hey, and, Jets fan and, sales here.
And Vin was like, and Vin always would joke that I'm a Jet fan anyway. I'm just unbiased, and I do root for the Jets. I root for the New York team. More so the Jets than the Giants historically.
Why?
For me.
And is it just the whole Met Jet thing?
No. It may be because of, you know, I grew up a Falcon fan, so once I became a Falcon fan, the NFC was there.
Okay,
and also more so because when Parcells left the Giants and went to the Jets, I followed him to the Jets. So that's it. But it has nothing really more to do with that. But now I root for both New York teams.
Well, answer the question. Falcons, Jets, Super Bowl.
Here's what I'll say.
You got to be rooting for the Falcons. Come on, dude.
I think ultimately I probably would. Like, not by choice, just by it's innate. It's in me. There's nothing I can do about it. To the point where Monday night, I told you, that was as gratifying a win Monday when the Falcons beat the Eagles. Like, I'm not into the Falcons as much anymore. I don't watch I literally don't watch their games anymore. What do you want to tell you? Like, being a fan, you actually have to watch the games. I don't. I'm watching the Jets and Giants. I'll watch the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're on prime time, of course I'll watch it. But I felt the fandom still there, which was actually fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
I know the Falcons will play the Giants later in the year, so we'll see how that goes. But Super Bowl, like, think of what it would mean for us to have the Jets in the Super Bowl with Rodgers. Like, yeah, you're right. The fandom in me would, you know, I'd lean Falcons, I guess. But, God, it would be so huge to have the Jets and Rodgers win a Super Bowl here.
All right, since we're stretching the boundaries, perhaps of reality, though, Rodgers did look awesome, and we're pumped up about the Jets.
I mean, it's not really unrealistic.
I know. So let's have a little fun. I want you to give me, in terms of appeal, let's just say that the Jets somehow get to the Super Bowl. The three most appealing opponents in terms of a sizzle, in terms of whatever.
Cowboys.
Okay, so are they
especially
number one?
You, be a house
divided. Wait, are they number one?
Well, I mean, are we being realistic? Or are we talking Giants, too?
I was going to exclude the Giants.
Okay.
So, because the number one, that's too easy, and it's probably not very realistic. I'll give you my first one.
Packers.
There's no doubt it's the Packers.
Yeah.
So, Jets, Packers, one. Jets, Cowboys.
Right.
I was thinking that, too. What about third? I got one for you.
Who?
I think Jets, Philly, with the emotion.
Yeah.
Think about the Knicks-Sixers series. We're just shooting barbs up and down the pike. Oh, my God, man.
Jets, Niners.
But just the whole East Coast, West Coast. He grew up a Niners fan. It's a platinum franchise, like the Steelers, like the Cowboys.
Yeah, Jets,
like,
Falcons, we do get to redo what should have been 98.
Yeah, but I don't think it's got a lot of appeal in this room, which would be meaningful for us.
No,
but I think dissipates once you leave this room.
100%. I think you touched on it. I think it might be Cowboys over Packers. Packers, yes, with Rodgers, but where's the, you know?
Well, that is the whole thing.
I get it, but
it's like LeBron playing the Cavaliers in the championship.
Understood. Yeah, no, I get that, but that's an appeal. Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys are the Cowboys, though.
Are they? I mean, they haven't gotten there since 96.
It's still the Dallas Cowboys.
That would be my worst nightmare.
Yeah, I mean,
because half my family's from Dallas.
Yeah, you know, your family divide. Actually, wouldn't you? I mean,
there's nothing to divide. I know who you're rooting for, and I know who I'm rooting for, and depending upon what happens, I guess I won't talk to you for a week.
Either way, it'd be like, what do you think I should do in that spot? Like, come on, imagine.
But you have to root for the Falcons, dude.
No, but think of what it would mean for us as a show, but for the Jet fans here. Like,
keep in mind, it's playing them. It's not necessarily. So if what it would do for the show, if the Jets play the Falcons,
and
we're
the
there.
Super Bowl,
we're there.
No, I get it.
We're
I
there
get
no
it.
Matter what.
I don't know,
I mean, the only thing you'd miss out on if the Falcons won would be the parade, which would be insane.
Yeah.
You know, so But you can't abandon the Falcons. Here's the bottom line.
Sadly,
yeah.
It just doesn't mean what it once did to me. Where, it, like, if you ever ask, if you ask, you know, 15-year-old Sal or 25-year-old Sal, even 30-year-old Sal this question, yep. Like, what are you, come on now. But yeah. But now it just doesn't mean as, like, they had their chance. They blew the Super Bowl.
But we can't have you jump in late. We don't.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it would be.
We don't want you.
Well, I wouldn't, but it's not about choice. Like, I would never, even if I were rooting for the Jets, it would never feel to me what it would feel to you.
Oh, no, I know. It feel more than it used to feel for you or how it feels now for the Falcons?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it would just be more like for New York and for the fun of working and having that.
So Packers, Dallas, and what's the third who we settling on here? Going Niners? Throw the Niners up there?
I think probably the Eagles.
Or the Eagles.
I think you're probably right with the Eagles.
There you go.
Anthony's in Old Bridge. What's up, Anthony?
Oh, thank God. Here we go again. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. BT, it's your Brooklyn boy, you know, Stevie B, Diamond Girl.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
What up,
man? Listen, you guys absolutely should be ashamed of yourself for being a sports talk show, okay? H&H is like the new nickname. Haters and homers. Haters and homers.
Okay.
That's the new nickname.
We're three plus hours
into a show.
Yep.
Okay? We had sports flashes by Bogish and Jerry talking about Joel Embiid's contract extension, like who cares? BT, you're a baseball guy. History was made last night with the greatest single performance in the history of baseball by a hitter. Okay. 6 for 6, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs.
Yeah. I know.
Anthony.
I know.
Anthony.
Nobody mentioned it.
Anthony.
How are you? You're talking about the Jets beating a team that can't beat Sheepshead Bay High School.
Anthony, hold on a second. First of all, the show's not over yet. Second of all, you're not the program director, and you certainly don't have any say what goes on in the show. Third, do you think anybody that is in New York sports talk gives a crap about what Shohei Ohtani did in comparison to what the Jets did last night?
Yes.
No, you'll get lost. That's why you're calling and not hosting the show. You don't. The story today is the Jets, and I don't have to educate you on that because really it doesn't matter what you think. We'll get to Ohtani when we feel like getting to it. We could do it now. We could have done it before. There's a lot to get to today. Matter of fact, I have a list of stuff that we still didn't get to. But your Dodger fandom is irrelevant as it pertains to our show and New York sports.
There's no room for it, man. I'm sorry. But I was thinking about it for a second on the ride, and I'm like,
we
talked about it before the show. I just thought about the numbers. I'm like, this guy went 6 for 6 with 10 RBIs and just went 50-50. But if it wasn't a busy day, we would have been talking about it.
If this was Thursday or Wednesday, we would have. And by the way, we might have gotten to it still. It's on our list of stuff to do. Ohtani. What was more important, to talk about Ohtani or the Soto scare? What was more important for New York? I'm sorry, nobody here cares about the Dodgers. Certainly the L.A. Dodgers. You want to talk about Duke Snyder? Jackie Robinson? I mean, it's been a long time since the Dodgers were in Brooklyn, Anthony.
Forget about Gil, Sandy.
Like, the guy takes offense because we're not talking about the Dodgers. Go listen to sports talk in L.A. I guarantee you they're doing 4 straight hours on Ohtani today. Good for them. We're not. We had the Jets' huge win last night. I mean, give me a break, Hoff.
Yeah, you could tie it in with the Mets, though, because Ray Ordonez, I think, had a season of 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. Ohtani did that one day. So you could compare, you know, all-time greatest.
Right, and you know also the biggest difference between Ohtani and Ordonez, of course. One played the field! One played the field! And he did it at a high level,
and
I might say.
You could pick it. Well, thank God he could pick it, because if he couldn't pick it, he wouldn't be in the majors, because he sure as hell couldn't hit.
Right, he could not hit. No, when you see those numbers that we're talking about it, you know, at the game last night, like, I'm like, what?
Oh, look at Skinny Strawberry. Look at these highlights. You getting pumped for the Mets tonight?
No, not yet.
Ten
ribbies in a game.
That's insane.
2 stolen bases and, you know, 3 homers. Obviously, it's a magnificent night. And it's not something that we're going to lead with on New York Sports.
No,
matter of fact, we haven't even talked about the Mets or the Yankees as much today.
Yeah, no.
We're going to the game tonight. You're right. Like, we're going to the Mets game tonight. We haven't even talked about that.
But just to give the accomplishment the respect that the accomplishment does deserve, I don't know. I mean, unless Ohtani does it, I don't know. Who's doing 50-50? Maybe Witt? Does he run that much? Like, in a couple years, like, 50-50 is
bonkers.
You're
saying about, again, somebody will probably do it at some point.
It's bonkers, 50-50.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
How many stolen bases does Judge have?
I think Judge has 9.
Okay. I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to look at Gunnar Henderson and Witt and some of these young pups, but I mean, that really is incredible.
It is incredible. He's an incredible player.
Yep.
I mean, it's
6-for-6, too.
He's going to win
not
the NBA.
Not 5-for-5, yeah, right. 6-for-6.
That's the bigger part, right?
Oh,
like,
God.
That's harder. 3 homers, 6-for-6, 10 ribbies, 50-50. Wow. Guy's a beast.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
He's no Aaron Rodgers, though.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw in third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Bavaro goes to one knee, genuflex in prayer, as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fan.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, it is that time. Time for the BT and Sal football picks brought to you by ELEC, 825, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Turwitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
It is time for the Perfect Parlay Pick segment, week 3. Right now, none of us, BT, Hoff, myself, have been able to cash out a parlay. I'm close, but no cigar. That's not how it works. Parlay, you got to get all the legs of it. So nobody has cashed in on the parlay yet, but Hoff and I have 10 points picking the correct winner of the Jets and Giants straight up so far through the first couple of weeks. And BT, you have 5. So it's 5-point disparity, really nothing of significance so far as we head into week 3. Just a reminder, the winner gets to choose what the two losers dress up as, what wrestlers. Like last year, you had Goldust, I had Doink. And it is a 2-team parlay, 25 points, 3-team parlay, 50 points, 4-team parlay, if you so choose, is 100 points. BT, take us away for week 3.
All right, Dove, you take me away with that music. Hey, listen, some of you guys know about the one-hitter, you know what I mean? How about a little two-hitter for you here? I got to just get something on the board. I've been coming swinging a little bit too aggressively, I think. Trying to go 3 teams last couple of weeks out of the shoot. I almost had it last week.
Yeah.
I actually got 2 out of the 3, but that is still equivalent to none out of 3. Got to get them all right. All right, here's the 2. Number 1, the Vikings are interesting, man. You know, I was singing the praises of Sam Darnold. I mean, not crazy, but certainly saying, hey, Sal, going to that Giants week 1 game, he's not terrible, man. Hey, Sal, this Vikings team, I don't know, they might be okay. Well, the Vikings are absolutely more than okay, and the Vikings are also home dogs to a team that a lot of you like, and a lot of you should like the Houston Texans. Great young quarterback, terrific season a year ago. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to jump on the Vikes, which, by the way, I am. I'm going to take the Vikings plus the 2 in Minnesota. Great stadium, by the way, inside and outside. It's beautiful. Brian Flores has absolutely done some great things with this defense. He rattled Brock Purdy in an impressive win against the Niners. So if you weren't buying Minnesota against the Giants, maybe you're going to buy them against the Niners. And if you're still not buying them, that's on you. As we say, that's a you problem. Vikings plus 2 to, and a matter of fact, I'm just going to go money lines. I think they're going to win the game. But for this, yep, plus 2 over the Texans, number 1. Number 2, just mentioned those Rams before, stifled by Brian Flores, the DC out there in Minnesota. Well, I didn't touch an over-under last week. I'm going to jump one in. You're going to jump into one here. Niners are at the Rams. The over-under, this is odd, Sal. Usually you don't see this much fluctuation. And usually this would be jarring enough for me to stop and not do this. But I'm convicted enough in this, I'm going to do it anyway. So it opened up at 46 was the over. It's been shaved down to 43.5. By the way, we use the Score app.
Yes.
For those who don't know and want to make sure that the spreads are uniform here, the Score app, all right? So opened up at 46, down to 43.5. Now, the Rams O-line is an unmitigated mess. That is not good against the San Francisco 49ers. You look at the number and you say, all right, why? Right. So it's 43.5, which it is. What do the Niners need to do to get in the neighborhood of 43.5? Well, I didn't even think they need this much, but you want to say, can they score 30 points? And for me, the answer is yes. And then all you really need is the Rams to do is score about 14. So it's fairly low scoring. Niners, I think, are going to be pissed off, rewired, and they're going to score. Give me the over. So, in summation, a little two-hitter for you. Vikings plus 2 is home dogs against the Texans. By the way, I think they went straight up. And the Niners and Rams over 43.5.
All right, there you have it for BT. Hop, what do you have here now? You're trying to get on the board as well. That is correct.
I'm trying to get pumped, first of all, because I'm going to Cleveland. So that's the first thing I'm doing.
Ooh.
Getting a little pumped for that.
Yo, his schedule, by the way. We're going to the Met game tonight. So Hop comes into work. We're going to the Met game tonight. He's got the overnight show tonight.
I know.
Then he leaves tomorrow with the Giants to go to Cleveland. Man, that is a brutal stretch.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
All of it. All right, but you know what I'm really looking forward to? Watching one of the worst teams in football play on Sunday. And it's not the Browns or the Giants. It's the Denver Broncos. They are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are 2-0. Their offense is legit. They're going up against one of the worst teams in football in the Denver Broncos. They're playing at home. -6.5. I think this is going to be a double-digit win for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I'm taking Tampa Bay over Denver Broncos -6.5 as the number one game. That's a two, by the way, two-team parlay.
Okay.
I just want to get in the boards like BT. Come on.
So you're a little two-hitter.
Yeah. Two-hitter. Two-hitter. Puff, puff, give.
Oh, is that what that is?
He got it.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
I started with the one-hitter.
Yeah, I've heard about a one-hitter. I've never heard about a two-hitter.
Well,
now I know
when
why.
You get the one-hitter back.
Yeah. my second play, I don't believe in Pittsburgh. I know they've won a couple games. I don't think their offense is really that good right now. Their defense is good. They're keeping them in games. But the Chargers going on the road, they're 2-0. They've scored a bunch of points. I'm comfortable getting +1.5 at Pittsburgh. I'm taking the Chargers +1.5. So I'm going Tampa Bay -6.5, Chargers +1.5 over Pittsburgh.
All right, there you have it. So everybody's going with two teams so far, and I am going to follow suit with that. And it's not because I just want to get on the board. It's because I don't love a lot of games. Unfortunately, the game I love the most, that took place last night. We can't get that in the perfect parlay. We don't do it for the Thursday games. So I had one winner that I loved off the board. There are only two games for me, and I'm going to agree with Hoff on one of them, the Chargers. If I'm struggling to find a pick, I'm going to go with what I know and trust, and I trust Harbaugh. I have since day one. I wish the Jets or the Giants would have hired him years ago. He has done wonders already for the Chargers. Steelers have been terrific. They're a well-coached team. Should be a fun game to watch. I just think the Chargers have too much firepower on the ground running the football. They have been beasts. I don't think Pittsburgh can keep up. Tight game, well-coached game. Give me Harbaugh and the Chargers to get to 3-0 as opposed to the Steelers and Tomlin getting to 3-0. I mean, that would be something. It's already something at 2-0. I think the Chargers win this game. The other pick, and I hate myself for doing this, but I'm going down with the ship. I told you by accident, I bet my perfect parlay, Jets and Giants on Monday. I forgot about it when I went to check my winnings because I thought I did just the Jet game. I had the Giants in there. This has got to be it. You heard Costos talk about it before. This is it. Like, enough about the evaluating and the belief what can turn into blind faith in Dable. If you are going to be a good head coach in this league, at some point, you actually have to start winning some games. You got embarrassed at home by the Vikings. You embarrassed yourselves in a game you should have won in week 2 in Washington. Giants got to win this football game. I'm going to take the 6.5 points. I do believe the Giants can win because I don't think Cleveland's that good. Don't come back without a win. I'm talking to you, Big Blue. Don't come back without a win. I'll take a cover. But don't come back without a win. So for me, a two-team perfect parlay. Chargers +1.5 to beat the Steelers and the Giants on the road in Cleveland. And I promise you, this is the last time I will take the Giants +6.5. Now, the tricky part of this, the money line for the Giants. Obviously, we can't do the Jets. That was last night. I think the Giants are going to win this game. I really do, BT. So I'm not going to couch it and say I'll take the 6.5, but the Browns are going to win. Give me the Giants to win for the 5 points.
I've got the Browns. They're getting a little healthy. You heard Bogus's update. A couple of keepers. Miles Garrett healthy. A couple of linemen coming back here. I don't think this is an embarrassment. Like, I don't think we're coming in here on Monday and saying, oh, my God, what a disgrace. They got absolutely abused, and it's like a lost cause. I don't sense that. Browns going to win this game. Huff?
I agree with you, BT. Until the Giants can go out and prove that they can win a game, I can't go for them right now. And the Cleveland Browns are nothing special, but neither are the Giants at this moment. So, got to go Browns.
Wow, how about that? So, straight up, you guys are taking the favorites. Understood with Cleveland. I'll tell you, if the Giants come back, if they don't cover this game, I am going to lose my mind. And really, I have nobody to blame but myself. You know I've been doing this now for a year and a half. So it's my own fault, but I have to just stick to what I believe
in.
One last time. This is it. The Giants have to come back with a win. My goodness. And I know we say must win and we overplay the must win narrative and all that stuff, but this is actually for them. If they want to save their season, like, do they have to win this game to, you know, to
no,
technically?
No, can always win five straight. Yeah, of course, right, but we overstate must win, but I think we all know it's
Dallas Thursday night. Yeah, I mean, come on. This is a must
win. I know you want them to win. Do you think they're going to win? Honestly.
I do.
Really think they're going to win?
I do, because it's more.
Win?
Yes. Two reasons. I'll give you factual reasons why I do believe they're going to win the game.
One is Deshaun Watson.
Well, yeah. One is Cleveland. Like, I like Cleveland's defense, but Cleveland, and I would have picked Cleveland last week, but I got caught up with the Jets, Giants, Falcons thing. I like Cleveland last week, but they were lucky to cover that game. They had a safety at the end. They let the Jaguars come back on them a little bit. Cleveland's just not that good. Their defense I like a lot. Garrett, I know, wasn't practicing, but whatever. I like their defense a lot. I just don't think they're very good offensively or even overall.
I don't think that's a crazy read, by the way.
Right. And the Giants, like, if this were coming off of week one or repeated weeks like week one, yep, different story. I did see enough there. Like, I think they're going to abuse them with neighbors. I think the Giants are just going to go. And they did that to Washington. Maybe they tighten the defense up in a game where Watson is not going to be as good. It sounds crazy, but he's not going to be as good as Jaden Daniels was. You know, breaking the Giants' backs, would getting first downs with his legs. I don't think he poses that threat the way that Daniels did, and Washington's offense just simply better. So the Giants' bend but don't break defense might be better off this week against that offense. Plus neighbors, maybe they get Hyatt, who's been talking about not being involved. Maybe they get him more involved this week. I like their running game. The offensive line been better. I just, based off of the improvements from week one to week two and the opponent in Cleveland, I think this is a spot where the Giants could win this game.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
What a great morning it is. We got the monkey off of our back. It feels so good. I don't want to be, you know, a negative Jets fan. I just wish we would have had Belichick. But it was just so sweet to, with Robert Kraft being there, witnessing his team crumble.
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick can take his bags and pack them and leave.
Oh, take it easy, buddy.
Oh, now all of a sudden the leverage, is back in favor of the Jets.
Oh, yeah. Sure it is.
The pendulum swings.
Yeah. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Good morning, fellas. It's like I hit the lottery last night. The Jets, the Mets, I don't remember a night having two wins like that. But it's a Jet moment here. Aaron Rodgers was like from game one to last night down the fountain of youth. His pre-snap reads, his rollouts. I mean, from week one, that rollout he did in week one to last night, hitting BBs out there. His pre-snaps, his football IQ is off the charts. We scoring touchdowns, first downs. It was a different team out there. We're not used to that. We're used to a 12-9 football game with the Jets. This is a different team. Defense made the adjustments. I mean, I'm ready to smoke a bowl of Hiawatha and pick it up in the mid-season defense.
That's week. It's week three, buddy.
Thank you. I know, Charlie. Take it easy.
Long way to go, buddy.
If Rodgers did deliver a Super Bowl BT, would you do the ayahuasca stuff?
I don't know if I wouldn't touch that at this age. You know, it's like one thing. I was messing around with the one hitter, having some fun with that. That's different. I think. For me to try something like that now,
I don't know what that is.
It's basically like you tripping out. I think I missed the boat on that one with the ayahuasca.
Yeah, I have no interest in that. Super Bowl, yes. Ayahuasca or whatever, no interest in that. 888-808-1019. We'll finish up on the phones here. A couple things though, I just want to mention. Number one, my wife is not happy with me because of all the games. Like, we're going to the Met game tonight, right? Are you still in?
Yeah.
What's the regret level, scale of 1 to 10?
I just don't feel great, but I got to sack up. Well, honestly, I don't feel well.
But what's the regret level of committing to
this? It's high. I mean, we'll go back to the 1 to 10 scale from yesterday's Yankee conversation. No, it's not a 10. It's not a 10.
Once we get there, it'll be fine. I don't want to go either, honestly. Like, it just, and I'll tell you why about my wife. But, like, it's a lot just going. And once we're there, we're going to have a great time. It's going to be a fun night.
I know.
Hoff, Gallo,
it's getting there. I'm really...
Getting back is a problem for me.
I'm leaving early.
Yeah,
there's no way I'm sticking around for nine innings. I'm pulling a Tiki. Tiki leaves and everybody laughs. Watch, I'm leaving early. I don't care what anybody says.
Are you by any chance passing by the Harrison Path station on the way home?
on the way home. I don't even know where the hell that is. You'll keep mentioning that.
Apparently, because you thought it was going to take me an hour and a half to get to half hour.
It's in Jersey. What do you mean? I've never taken it.
Anyway, so my wife, like this morning, I could just tell what the attitude, right? Because I was at the Jet game last night.
Uh-huh.
So and I was texting throughout the course of the day, like, now, you know, we're doing the shows, we're locked in. Yesterday, after the show, we had a full meeting.
We did, it was over an hour.
Yesterday. So now, over an hour. After that, I had to go tape a podcast, which I did for WFA and Dale. We had Brian Leach on.
I heard it was great, by the way.
He was terrific. He's still bitter, his words, bitter with the Rangers, and I think specifically Glenn Sather because of the trade that they traded away. Let me just quickly promote them. Messier will be there. The 94 Rangers Stanley Cup Championship team, Leach, Richter, Graves, Matteau, Keenan, Woodbridge Brewery, 33 Main Street in Woodbridge, New Jersey, this Saturday, so that's tomorrow. HallOfFameSignings.com or CXStuff.com for details and to purchase tickets.
Wow, that's
I'm
awesome.
Also going to have Mike Keenan today as well. We'll tape that. Anyway, we do the meet. We do the show. We do the meeting. I tape the interview with Leach. I have to go to SNY. Yeah. I get to SNY. I'm writing the show, doing the show. Now, in between, I found time to text my wife, hey, everything good? How you guys doing?
That's nice of you.
I think so, too. Then, after the show, I got to meet Brian down by the PATH station. Uh-huh. We're going to the Jet game. I'm already anxious because you said it's going to take forever. We got to get there. There was no time to call. I mean, I'm not going to call my wife with my buddy in the car.
I know. That's
I'm not calling the game. Like, I can't call during the meeting, during the show. That's it. And it wasn't good enough. I thought texting is like good enough. Hey, I'm checking in. Here I am.
I think it's evolved into that at this point. Okay, I think the text is similar to the call.
But morning it was, you didn't even have time to call. Oh, yeah, you're so busy. And then you go to the Jet game last night and the Met game tonight. I'm like, we gotta go for work. This is busy time of the year. Football, playoffs. They want us to go out to the game. We're going to the game. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay, hold on a second now. Now, I have two a question and a statement. When you got home last night, was she sleeping?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, just making sure I figured that. So you're leaving out one important thing.
Yeah.
Which will make this worse. What are you doing tomorrow morning?
You're right.
What are you doing tomorrow morning?
I'm playing golf with Jerry. I left that part out, but she didn't.
Oh, man,
she goes, Jets Thursday night, Mets game tonight, golf tomorrow. You're doing what you want to do for your life. And I'm like, it's work. I mean,
yeah, we could talk a little business on the course.
Yeah, Sunday football.
Oh, man.
Jets Thursday, Mets Friday, golf Saturday, football Sunday.
Giants Thursday.
Divorce
Giants,
Monday.
Did you say divorce Monday?
No, God. Giants Thursday.
Rangers and Knicks are coming. See you, honey. I'm just kidding.
Get ready. Like, Mets and Yankees playoffs.
Now,
like,
you are pushing it with the golf. I will defend your lovely wife, who is a saint for putting up with you.
Understood. And truth be told, like, we committed to this. I committed to this weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to back out on Jerry. I want to go see him.
I understand.
I admit I'm pushing it this week, but like, I have had no time to call. What do you want
to do? I can understand a little resentment on her part. Why are you going out, you know, sucking down a few surfsides last night and going out and having 9 double bogeys tomorrow? She's at home with a 3-year-old.
I know, and the dog, and the dog's got diarrhea, waking her up in the middle.
Oh my God.
He's crying. She goes, you sleep right through it. I'm like, he was crying? I didn't hear it. What happened?
The funny thing is, and the show's almost over, like, if I just let Sal keep going, there's probably two or three other things that are pissing her off that he just doesn't have time to say.
You're not kidding.
You're one of a kind, man.
Beat the Intel, all the fans. So anyway, come say hi to us tonight at City Field. 888.
What time are we getting there? Where are we meeting? I mean, honestly, do we do stupid digital tickets?
Yeah, how are you getting? I know, I hate not having a ticket.
I can't stand that.
I would have liked to have had the stub. I got to meet you at the seats. I'm not going to get there. Probably you guys will get there early because I got the SNY
show.
That's
right. Okay.
But I would have liked to have had the ticket stub from last night's game, like Rodgers' actual first home game as a Jet, throwing the first touchdown.
I feel
it's all mobile crap now.
Well, I feel like you can request it maybe just certain teams or certain situations. Like, it was Rodgers' first home win.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that. They didn't know if they were going to win going in.
Yeah, I know.
I hear you. And it wasn't his first game because he did technically play a year ago.
Let's hope the Mets don't stop bringing the rain tonight once we show up with those runs. Rob is in Levittown. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I was just wondering. So Senga supposed to come back towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It is the end of the season.
Do you think... Do you think he will get a chance in the wild card if he gets a start towards the end?
Oh, sorry there. I mean, we get the point. Yeah.
Listen, did he earn it from last year? Sure. But here's the problem. The other guys that you would be inclined to go to this year, how do you justify pulling? You're not pulling Manaea. I don't think you're pulling Seve. I don't think you're pulling Peterson.
You could even throw in Quintana, who's been terrific. Tyler
McGill.
He's
a little easier. I mean, those three, the first three guys I mentioned, that would only seem unfair.
I'm not there with Peterson yet. And I'm like, if you were to ask me this question a week ago, I said, absolutely, Kodai Senga will get a start. And even now, I'm still inclined to say I trust Senga only because of what we saw, not only last year, but this year when he came back against the Braves.
Yeah, before he got hurt,
he was very good.
He pitched well.
So that would be encouraging to me. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Everybody that's going out there, Quintana, McGill, Peterson, obviously the top two. All right, so let me just ask you flat out. Who would be your third starter? Who do you trust the most?
I like Peterson.
Okay, so he's your third guy?
Got pretty nasty stuff, man. Yeah. And he's a lefty.
I think I'd still probably go Kodai Senga. And then if he gets in trouble, you see it not working early on, boom, go right to Tyler McGill or Peterson or Quintana. I might even trust Quintana more.
I don't know if
who would be your fourth? You're giving Peterson the third. Who's your
Senga.
Fourth?
Senga. I'd find room for. I would. Okay. You know, McGill's been better than I thought, but I'm not. I'm going to move a mountain to get Senga in there. Pardon me, Senga, and I'm going to sit McGill, and I'm going to sit Quintana. And Quintana has been good. You're right, but somebody's got to lose.
Manny is in Brooklyn. What's up, Manny?
Hey, bud.
Hey, what's doing? First of all, love the show. Great game last night. How's it finally to have a secondary, not to have Whitehead back there? And kind of a normal safety from the Ravens, Clark. Also, real quick about Alonzo. You think he would do a contract for, like, less years and more money? And we always give him a second contract.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. And thank you for the call, man. It was hard to hear that first part. Talking about
I think
he
mentioned
secondary.
The Jets secondary. I don't know if he was happy with it. I mean, he should be so far. Echols did well in Tennessee, filling in for DJ Reed. You know, Sauce didn't have a great game against Tennessee, but he was much better last night. DJ Reed's outstanding. You know, you're starting to see and Clark make some plays and with that beautiful strip sack recovery. And I believe he had a sack as well. Jets secondary is pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would have no problem.
Real good.
The run defense is the biggest question, and we'll see if they can improve on that as we move forward here. Who knows what happens with Reddick, but their secondary is fine. As for the Alonzo thing, look, right now I think we can curb the Alonzo contract talk. It should be about the final nine games, about what Alonzo could do. He hit another home run last night, so maybe he's getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies, Braves, Brewers, postseason. After that, there's going to be plenty of time. Right now, there's not going to be much time to talk about the games that mean something now getting into the postseason and then hopefully postseason games. Let's focus on that before we start worrying about what Pete's market's going to be.
I like that.
At this point.
I'm with you.
Right? I mean, there's plenty of time
good
to discuss
thought.
That.
Good
We'll
thought.
Discuss Pete and Soto when the seasons are over.
There's going to be a point where we're exhausted from talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know.
Even though it is compelling, amazing stuff. I mean, and both fan bases are impacted, so it's going to be, really off-season topic number one. Sure, Knicks, Rangers, but
in terms of,
I mean, that's going to be massive. No, I don't disagree.
And I get that Met fans are going to be nervous about potentially losing Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
But right now, your focus should be on the games that mean something. The final three games at home of the regular season for the Mets. The Yankees trying to win a division. Like, you shouldn't worry about Soto leaving in free agency now. You can worry about it during the season at some point. You can worry about it in November. Can't worry about that now.
You guys, it's City. And again, we're going tonight. Me and Sal and Av. Who's the fourth?
Gallo.
Oh, we did. Oh, yeah, Gallo. Nice. So it went from 21,000 to 25,000 to 34,000 to 35. We hit 40 large tonight? We
I think
40?
So. Friday night.
I think capacity is like 41 change.
Weather's good.
Yeah, weather's gorgeous. Yeah.
Last night it was actually too hot.
I was going to say, I almost wish it was like 5 to 7 degrees cooler at night.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was too hot.
Yeah, I know. I felt that way watching football practice the other night. It's just too hot.
I don't know how to dress anymore because it's warm outside. It's freezing in this studio. And you think at night at a game it's going to get cooler, but it didn't.
It's still a little humid, actually. It's weird.